Okay. Okay, guys, here we go. Okay. I hope we'll actually get to the lumdas today, but everything I'm going to say now for the next 15 minutes is crucial, so please listen carefully. How to set up a sugya, how to appreciate a sugya, where we are. Okay? So we're going to have a lot of work today, a lot of methodology today. Stay awake. Okay? Every part of today's year is really, really important, even before we get to the lumdas. Okay, let's start. Okay? Let's first of all review where we stand. And not only where we stand, but let's think a little bit more carefully about some of the ideas. Okay, the simple shot is that the Ptur, okay, I'm going to put this on the side, the Ptur, Shein Veregel, Birshus HaRabim, is a Gzeres HaKasif. Ubir, Bistei Acher. I don't really know what to make of that Gzeres HaKasif, but it has something to do with zoning and Rishus. And we already saw that maybe the zoning for Bava Kamla is a little bit different than it normally is for Shabbos and for Kinyanim. It has to do with something to do with Bailus and zoning. Okay? Then we saw certain Gemaras that made us rethink. Okay, I'm going to draw a big, big, big blue line here, because this is the formal pshat that's obvious in the Gemara. We saw the Gzeres HaKasif several times. But then we developed, I'm going to talk about three other approaches. One, two, and three. I'm going to leave number four out. I'll tell you what four is. I'll draw it here just to make sure you see it, okay? Number one is the Rif. What did the Rif call it? What's the Ptur? Orche. Then in Rishus HaRabim, the Ptur is Orche. Who remembers the Gemara that we associated with the Rif? What's the key Gemara? No?
Oh, no, it's
Mazar. No? Those are nice Gemaras, but what Gemara makes sounds like the Rif? Come on. V'chi yochazena, what'd you say? V'znava v'yelech. Is it fair to make someone run after his animal holding the tail if it's orche for animal state? We insert it into various gemaras. If you're looking for a gemara that makes it seem obvious, it's a gemara you test. Okay, guys, listen carefully. Really, really important share. Welcome. Okay, part two. The second idea we had was pshias hanizik. That in Rishus HaRabim, it's the Nizik's fault for leaving his paris exposed. Which Gemara did we associate with that? Which Gemara said that? Who remembers? Good Chazar. We do Chazar every day in Gush. It's a myth that we don't do Chazar. We do Chazar every day, Adam. Right? Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Let's keep it in red. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Mechatze Makom, according to the Lishna Basra. According to Rav, what's the language, Adam? Can you pick out the language from the Gemara? Lav, come on, Kol. Kiminach de mekaravta le leperosecha. The Mazik tells the Nizik, are you putting your paris in Rishus HaRabim? Or in Rishus HaYachid, that's still legally yours, but that you're allowing me to walk by, you're the poshea, and therefore I'm pater. Now watch carefully. Now I'm drawing a big red line, because as similar as 1, 2, and 3 are when compared to the black Gzeres HaKasif, we'll call this ground zero, the Gzeres HaKasif, as similar as 1, 2, and 3 are, 3 is still going to be a little different. Who remembers what 3 was? Why you put the Rishus HaRabim? Okay, very good. Because the whole Mechayiv, HaMechayiv, listen carefully, this is a major, major statement to understand today's sugya. HaMechayiv, we'll call it Plisha. Plisha is a Hebrew word for invasion. Uver Rishus HaRabim, Ein Plisha. Okay, which Gemara did we try to get this from? If someone asks you which Gemara before today makes it sound like the invasion is a Mechayiv?
Misgalgal?
Rashi? Which side? Basilikiva. Very good, Adam. Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Misgalgal according to Rashi. Misgalgal. Galgal. Basilikiva. We don't care where the eating was. We care where the snatching from the Rishus was. Everyone listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Why did I draw a line, this red line? I draw the blue line between 0 and 1, 2, and 3, because 0 is Gzeres HaKasif. 1, 2, and 3 is not formal. Remember that everything I'm going to say today, please stay awake today. I promise you, every word I'm saying today is crucial for method. There's so much methodology in this story. So many tools you need to know. Please, keep your head on it, okay? If I go to 1 and 2, I'm changing the nature of the Ptur. The mechayev between 0, 1, and 2 is the same. The nature of the Torah is different. It's not formal. It's pshias anizik. It's Orche. Once I go to three, what am I changing? Say it better. What am I changing? Not the nature of the Ptur, nature of the Mechayev. It's a complete, complete paradigm shift. One and two are saying, look, it's the same Mechayev, but the Ptur Shas Rabim is informal. The Ptur Shas Rabim is Orche or Pshias and Isik. Very good, Henry. When I get to three, it's a major, major shift. Because I'm changing the Mechayev. And that's why the Mechayev doesn't exist in Rishas Rabim. One and two, I'm saying, it's the same Mechayev, Rishas Siach, and Rishas Rabim introduces a new reason to Pater. Pshias and Isik or Orche. When I get to three, I'm changing the Mechayev. I'm saying, wait a second, no, Mechayev doesn't exist because I redefine the Chiyev in a way that makes me Pater automatically because there's no Chiyev. Said otherwise, so one and two is a different Ptur. Three is a different Mechayev, which excludes Aryeh Rishas Rabim by definition. Okay? This has all been the easy stuff. Imagine we've been on a field trip. We looked under rocks. We looked under trees. We looked in the pond. We gathered all these ideas. They're very rough ideas. We have to take these ideas into the laboratory and put them under the microscope and start sharpening them. What exactly do we mean by Xeris HaKasev? What exactly do we mean by Orche? What exactly do we mean by Pshias HaNisik? Till now, it's been fun. Nice, easy Gemara. Oh, new idea. Oh, new idea. Today it's going to be even more fun. Even more fun because we have a sugya that very, very few shonim talk about. Almost no achronim talk about. So you know that's our turn to be lamdanim, to add to the masara because this is a forgotten sugya. But is this an important sugya or what? Talk about an important sugya. Okay, it's going to take us at least 2 days to decipher this sugya because there are many, 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 many methodological tools that we're going to look at. Okay? So this is where we're at. We have these four ideas, 0, 1, 2, and 3. We drew two lines of demarcation. Remember, it's important to create these lines of demarcation because they help you categorize and catalog. So there's a line of demarcation where the Ptur is informal. I'm going to write that word formal because it's going to be important. This is a formal Ptur. The others we'll call practical. So that's one line of demarcation. Within the practical Ptur, so not even within, a second line of demarcation is a big red line. That line of demarcation is, look at this bracket, Rishas HaRabim is a Ptur, whether it's formal, whether it's Shias and Isik, whether it's Orche, or Rishas HaRabim, no Chiyav, because the whole Chiyav is invasion, and there's no invasion in Rishas HaRabim. Okay? That's our system of Shein V'Regel and Rishas HaRabim so far. Now we want to take this system and inspect it and sharpen it. To do that, we just need more information. So until now, everything has been pretty simple because there's been exclusivity between Mazik and Nizik. Question is, okay, it's the margins of Rishus HaRabim. It's the back of animals. Portable Rishus HaYach is in Rishus HaRabim. Margins of Rishus HaYach is Rishus HaRabim. Food rolling from Rishus HaYach to Rishus HaRabim. Now is where the fun stuff starts. Now we're going to talk about Mazik and Nizik occupying the same space. Everyone see how it's becoming a lot more subtle? This is the sugi of Chatzar HaShufim. Now all of a sudden, the level of difficulty has been ratcheted up. We're now on level 4. Tell me we're level 1 and 2. Okay, it's my Rishus, your Rishus. There's been no overlap between Mazik and Nizik. That doesn't have to bother me. The things that bother me are portable Rishus HaYachids, lack of Orcheis, Hefker, Pshia. Now we're going to start making things really, really difficult because we're going to talk about Chatzer HaShutvin in a really, really, really broad and detailed manner. Okay? That's where we're at. We're moving over our time to take these models, see what the Gemara has to say about Chatzer HaShutvin, and then see what model we can start then. As opposed to all the five sugyas we've seen until now, think about five sugyas. This is a hard Gemara. And we spent a lot of time in today's Shia just mapping the Gemara. So I said, you should have to read this Gemara at least 4 times just to get started, because if there's too many things happening, and if you don't pay attention, you'll miss important shifts. If you miss shifts, you'll miss lambdas. Okay? So we're going to spend about the next 25 minutes reading the Gemara. If you haven't read it, focus. If you read it, focus. Still, you may not have picked it up. Okay? Here are sheets. Pass them around and get the sheets yesterday. You can fill them out. Please, everyone, please, 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 open your Gemara. Let's read the Gemara really, really carefully, line by line. If you look at my notes, 1 second, Ari, I literally write summaries of hard Gemara. So you may want to take your pen and just simply summarize as we move from step to step, because you'll see there's an important quote-unquote shift, which may or may not be a shift, which can change the complexion of the entire Lumdishi universe. So let's be very, very careful to see when that shift happens, if it happens. Yes, Ari.
How does the Torah of Rift not also theobase?
No, because if Rift just says there's a Mechayev Kol Ma'aseh Nesek, but when, we'll use it right now, we may change this, the level of Pshiyah of the Mazik is so low that it's like an Ones. Remember we saw the Lashon of the Shittim Mekubetzes and the name of the Tosas HaRash V'chich HaZenev is never V'elch as an Ones. So if you're just swapping the word Ones for Orche, so then you're an Ones. So we're not changing the nature of the Chiyah, we're just giving you an example. We may have to change it, but you don't. Whereas that last paradigm shifts in Mechayev. Okay, good question. Okay, let's start really, really carefully. All the action starts in the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Of course, the Mishnah is extremely, extremely. Mishnah is extremely, extremely cryptic. Okay, Daf Tes. Right, goes all the way back to Daf Tes. The Gemara starts in Gimel Amud Beis. So the Mishnah and the end of Daf Tes Amud Beis. The beginning we saw. We spent a lot of time in the beginning of the Mishnah. Remember, Chavti Bishmiraso, Echsharti Esmixus Nisko, Rashi Matzel Echershot Tevakatan. That led us to the case of Bor Tes and Bor Yud. That led us to the case of Marbe B'Chavila, where Yishai adds some fire. That led us to the case of five people sitting on the bench. So the first part of the Mishnah was really explosive. Second part of the Mishnah is really cryptic. Okay, Uvachol Makom. That's the shift in the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah talks about levels of Pshia, A, Natan, B, what types of victims you're chaya for. Uvechol makom. Okay, now we have uvechol makom. Chutz mi, v'shus hamyuchedes lemazik. You're patrin v'shus hamazik. V'rashus hanizik. What does that mean? You're patrin v'shus hanizik? That can't be true. You're chaya v'shus hanizik. What does that word mean? All these things are just codes. V'hamazik. V'shus hanizik v'hamazik. They jointly own it. So there are three parts of that phrase. You chayv everywhere except Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah v'Hamazik. And Kishizik chayv Hamazik l'shavim. So the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis has two preliminary interpretations of that second phrase. Okay? Amar Rav Chisda. We're going to go back to another Gemara, a line before, but let's start with Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Avimi. Chatzer Hashutvim chayv ba Al Hashain, V'al HaRegel, V'hachi Kamar, Chutz V'Rishus HaMiuchedes L'Mazik D'Pater, Rishus HaMazik is Pater, Rishus HaNizik V'HaMazik, Chatzar HaShutvim, Kishizik Chav HaMazik L'Shalach. According to Rav Chisda, Yerchayev, and Chatzar HaShutvim, based on his reading of the Mishnah. V'Lazer Amar Pater, your Pater and Chatzar HaShutvim, Al Hashain V'al HaRegel, V'hachi Kamar, Chutz V'Rishus HaMiuchedes L'Mazik, Rishus HaNizik V'HaMazik, Nami Pater, we're talking about something else. We're coming to add Karen, and that returns us all to the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about whether Karen was already mentioned in the first Mishnah, wasn't mentioned in the first Mishnah. That's already a complicated conversation that takes us all the way to Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph with Shomer. Okay? So, the Machlokas Amarayim between Rav Chisda, who's Machayiv in Chatzar HaShutvim, and Rav Elazar, who patters in a Chatzar HaShutvim. What's a Chatzar HaShutvim? Even Stephen. Gavi owns it, Yossi owns it, you're Shutfim. Gavi, what can you do in the Chatzar HaShutvim? Everything. Yossi, what can you do in the Chatzar HaShutvim? Everything. I know a Chatzar HaShutvim when I see one. 100% utility for everyone. Chatzar HaShutvim, Nachlag Zamarayim. So this already makes me lick my chops. We're starting already to, now I have a new piece of information. Machlokas Amarayim, Chatzar HaShutvim. What's the Machlokas about? But before that, we have to see whether this Machlokas actually stands. Because at some point, the Gemara then raises a question. The Gemara says, now on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, please summarize the Gemara's very carefully. Line number 6. The Hatani Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef has a brisa that makes it sound like you're chayiv against Rabbi Elazar. What does Rabbi Yosef say? Chatzar HaShutvim V'apundak Chayiv B'em Alashein V'el HaRegel Tiyuftad Rabbi Elazar. It's a steer against Rabbi Elazar. So there's a brisa on Daf Yud Dalet that Rabbi Yosef happened to quote that seems to contradict Rabbi Elazar, saying that Chatzar HaShutvim is chayiv. Rabbi Elazar answers, Amalecha Rabbi Elazar v'tizvara. You're asking me from a brisa. I have a Mishnah. Masnisa milo pligi. I have a Mishnah like me. The Mishnah is itself very cryptic. What does the Mishnah say? It's a Tosefta v'hatanya. Arba kalalos haya rashbar. Rabbi Elazar omer ben Ezekin. For us, Okay, we're interested in the third line. There are four lines. There are four klalos, like arba avos, arba klalos. Klal number one, reshus l'nizik v'lo mazik chayev. That makes sense. Demazik v'lo l'nizik pater. That makes sense. Line number three, which is important for us right now, lazeh v'lazeh, kigon chatzah shufim v'abika, pater ba'al ashen v'el regel al negicha. So therefore, Rebbe Lazar deflected the attack by saying, you're attacking me with a brisa of Yosef. Rabbi Yosef quoted, I have a brisa of Shem ben Elazar like me. So evidently, my machlokas, says Rebbe Lazar in his voice, between me and Rav Chisda, where the chatzah shit from his chayef, is really a machlokas tonight. So you can't get me with a brisa because I have my own brisa. So our machlokas happens to be a grade A machlokas, not a grade B. So machlokas to Amorayim, Rav Chisda, Mechayev, Rav Elazar Paters. So machlokas to Brises, Rav Yosef's Brisa is Mechayev, Rav Shimon ben Elazar's Brisa, Paters. If the Gemara would stop here, that would be our sugya. Our sugya until this point, look at the board, Chatzar HaShutfin. Rav Chisda is Mechayev, Rav Elazar Paters. And by the way, this machlokas is mapped onto a machlokas tonight. In the Tanaim, it's Rabbi Yosef quoting his brisa like Rav Chisda, and it's Rav Shimon ben Elazar quoting his brisa like Rav Elazar. So the machlokas, we have millions of cases like this in Shas. Now here is the most important technical balamna shashift of the sugya. The Gemara then says, circle these words, first wide line, end of the line, kashya hadadi, there's a steer between the brisos. Yeah, I know there's a steer between the brises. You know what we call that, Azariah? We call that a machlokas tanayim. And it's good that there's a machlokas tanayim, because there's also a machlokas amarayim. Period. Sugya ended. That's a big deal. Rabbi Elazar just told us what he thinks. He told us there's a machlokas tanayim, the shadows of machlokas amarayim, and period. It's machlokas with the chazan shufa mischayim. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to alumnus and start analyzing the machlokas. What's the problem? This is a big machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Who is saying kasha? Because the consequence of this kasha is going to be homogenization. No, 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 no. You got it wrong. There is no machlokas by Chatzar HaShutfin. Chatzar HaShutfin is pater, the Gemara is going to say. So a machlokas is, well, let's see how you define shutfin. Who can bring their animals, who can bring their parents. Nothing to do with ownership. It has to do with utility. What utility I have, what utility you have. This is major, major, major shift. And the sugya we'll talk about in a moment. And the question is the Gemara wiping away everything before? Everything you said is wrong? There is no machlokas about Chatzar HaShutfin? Our starting point is Chatzar HaShutfin is putter. And now we start talking about whether you're chayiv or putter based on distributed utility? Because Rabbi Elazar is continuing the statement. By the way, I don't want it to be a machlokas. It's not a machlokas tanayim. And it's not a machlokas amarayim. Or are there two voices in this Gemara? The first voice is Rabbi Elazar, who thought, yes, there's a fundamental machlokas about Chatzar HaShutfin. And then there's another Gemara that says, no, 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 you got it wrong. It has nothing to do with ownership. It has to do with distributed utility. This is the big, big shift in our sugya. Let's see Rashi. What does Rashi say? Because everything's going to shift here. I don't even know if Rashi talks about it, but Tosfos. Tosfos. I even forget who talked about it. Did you see him in the Rishonim? Did I give it to you? One second. Yeah, look at the Beinu Hanano. One second. Sorry. Now you see, look at the Beinu Hanano. Beinu Hanano says, Katani miha pater ba'al ashen ve'al regel kashya nadadi. Okay, we just said this is a kashya ella had the tani Reb Shimon. When Reb Shimon said this b'chatz, ella makes it sound like the Gemara is shifting, and this is not Reb Elazar. This is a shift into some other voice in the Gemara that says let's try to find a way to solve the steer between the sugya. So I forget which we've shown him. I'll show you later. I'll have to look up. I forgot to put on the Makaros. Major, major machlokas we've shown him about whether Kashya Hadadi is a who has a Rashba here? Let me just see if the Rashba quotes it. Is Kashya Hadadi, Rabbi Elazar continuing to assess, I don't like this a machlokas, and if I'm going to move the goalposts, and they're not really arguing about Chatzar HaShutfin? Or is Rabbi Elazar finished, and in his mind there's a machlokas Tanayim and a machlokas amarayim b'chasa shufim. The Gemara says, you know what? Let's try a different angle. Let's try a different angle to make it into a way that the brisos are not sosa each other, and we don't really care about bailos, and all we care about is peros and shvarim. Let me just take a second to see if the Rashba quotes it. If not, then I'll find it. It's all over the Rishonim. I just didn't get a chance to give it to you. Yud Dalid Min Aleph, Lamam. Okay, this is in one line in the Rashba. I'll take some time and I'll excerpt from the Rishonim to show you this Machlokas Rishonim. Why is this important? Please follow. I'm sorry about this little break in the action. Because the Gemara is about to do an about-face. The Gemara is about to say, Kashi Adadi. Let's read it as if it's a separate voice, not Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said this. Now the Gemara is going to move and say, no. I have a Kasha. I don't like the Brisos having a Machlokas. I don't like this red. To avoid this red, I'm going to shift. Kashi Adadi. Ki Tanyahi, look at the Gemara. Ki Tanyahi, that brisa that said pater, namely Reb Shimon's brisa, bechatzer miyuchedus lazeh velazeh bein leperos bein leshvar. Ahid Reb Yosef, the Reb Yosef brisa that's mechayev bechatzer miyuchedus leperos bein miyuchedus leshvarim to gav shein habay lechatzer nisek. Now the Gemara is going to say, no, it's not a machlokus. Really, chatzer hashutfim, it's going to be pater. The brisa of Rabbi Yosef, that's Mechayev, is going to be, here's my 2x2 table, Mazik Nizik, Peros Shor. Okay, Mazik Nizik, Peros Shor. Yes, no. You can't bring Shvarim, you can't bring Peros, that's when you're Chayev. Whereas the brisa of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which says Pater, is going to be Mazik, Nizik, Peros, Shor. Yes. Did everyone see the shift in logic? When I'm in this part of the Gemara, I'm still asking what you can use it for. Yossi, you and Gavi own it. If you own it, I don't care whether you use it for Shvarim, or for Peros, or for art, or for breathing exercises, or for yoga, or to show all your friends how rich you are. You own it on the books. I don't look at utility, I look at ownership. That's the determining factor. When I look at ownership, then I either have one of two choices, Adam. Pater or Chayef. It's a machlokas. Period. And the Gemara ends there. At which point another voice comes in and says, No. It has nothing to do with ownership. It has to do with, let's think about who can bring their animals in, who can bring their payrolls in. Is it exclusive payrolls? Is it exclusive animals? These are two very, very different models for how I define Chatzer HaNizik for Ptur and Chiyav purposes in Shein V'Regel. This model says ownership. This model says utility. If there are two models, then I have a break in the sugya. If Kashi Adad is not Rebbe Lazar changing his mind, but it's a totally different voice. Rebbe Lazar said, "Oh, it's a machlokas amarayim, me and Rav Chisda." It also happens to be a machlokas tanayim. Rabbi Yosef to make leave is a tana. It's his brisa versus Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Period. Don't start being machalik. Miuchedes lezeh, enem miuchedes lezeh, miuchedes leperos, miuchedes leshvarim. There's a fundamental machlokas about chutz rashufim, chayiv rapater. Then there's another voice in the Gemara. The Stam in the Gemara says, "No. I have a way of solving the brisos because in my world." It's more complicated than just the binary chatzra shutfim issue, chayev rapater. I have a much more complex world, and since, Henry, I have a complex world of distributed utility, you have peros, I have shivarim, we'll get to that, so I can find a solution, Alex, that can resolve the two brises. If I don't care about utility, then I only have one case, chatzra shutfim, no, and I'm chayev tzizim achlogis tanayim. If I care about utility, then I have so many different scenarios. Look at the two matrices. There are obviously four different matrices. Obviously, in theory, we have to look at all of them. I have so many different matrices that I can assign different scenarios to different brisos and solve them. That's the crux of the sugya. Do we have a different voice in the sugya? Or is Reb Elazar just saying, you know what, I'm giving up. It's not really chatzar ha-shutfin. I don't want to say it's a machlok, I'm not giving up. It's not really a machlok, it's tanoim. The real issue is utility, Reb Elazar, kashya dadi, and there's no steer in the brisos, and we'll see how the machlok is Reb Elazar and Yosef pans out in the end, based on this other red model on the board. So this is crucial. What is the axis? As I pick up the sheet, what is the axis upon which Rishus HaYachad, Rishus HaRabim evolves? Bailus? In which case, I don't care what you can use it for. There's only one question. Do you own it? Do you not own it? Period. Or, who can use it for what? Does everyone start to see how this is related to the table? Just look at the table. Forget whether it continues or not. Which version of the Ptur Rishus HaRabim would be based on ownership? Which version or versions, both of them, would be based on utility and what I can use it for? Can anyone connect this question, the two models here, to this? In a general sense, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and start parsing it. Can anyone connect it? What if I hold that the Ptur is? No? Think, move. I hold the Ptur is a gezeras hakosiv of steacher. Then how do I gauge? What do I have to gauge? What's the concept I have to gauge? Stay acher. So what variable do I use to gauge stay acher? Bailus. Whereas if the Ptur isn't formal, but what's the other word on the board? Then I don't care about. I care about utility. And how that affects orche slash pshia slash invasion. Because those are not formal issues. Those are issues that happen to be demarcated between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, but it's nothing to do with bailus. And I have to get much more resolution to determine whether it's orche or not, whether it's pshia and izik or not. Nothing to do with formally. Normally, in the normal case in Rosh Hashanah, it's not orche, there's no pshia and izik and there's invasion. So you're chai. When it's just a rabbin, there's pshia and izik, there's orche, and there's no invasion, so you're pater. It's not really a function of who owns it, it's a function of utility and orche, and who moves, who doesn't move. This is our big, big question. It's going to occupy us for many, many, many hours now. Today, tomorrow, I hope we'll finish tomorrow. I don't know if we'll finish tomorrow. And the big question is, does this stand? I'll show you. I'll give you some Rishonim. Does this really stand? Do we have two voices in our sugya? Or does the entire sugya end up being about utility? Because Reb Elazar thought to defend himself against the attack of Reb Yosef's brisa by quoting a counter brisa, and he was not comfortable with that. And then Mr. Gemara, whoever that is, Rav Ashi, Ravina, says, no. Because we feel that it has nothing to do with bailus, it has everything to do with 1, 2, and 3, all the blues, not the black. It has nothing to do with the bailus, it has to do with the utility. Ari, there's so many different scenarios of utility that we don't have to say the brisa argues. If it's a complete and classic chatzar shurfim, everyone will say pater. If you and I own it, Yossi and Gavi own it entirely. For shvarim, for pairs, I was going to say pater. The brises who hold chiyuv, or the amaraim who hold chiyuv, by a chatzar hashurfim, namely Rav Chisda, they're not really talking about a normal chatzar shurfim. They're talking about a chatzar shurfim where you can't bring in shvarim, you can't bring in pairs, who can bring in pairs. Let this all settle into your mind. If you don't get this, the whole sugya is going to be mumbo-jumbo. This is the top question of the sugya. Everything else is a tributary, important tributaries. There'll be tributaries to tributaries. But this is the mouth of the Nile River. This is the delta of the Nile River. This is where it all happens. Right here. Are we revolving around bailus, as it sounded like for the Gemara? Or are we revolving around utility, which it sounds like the ending? For today's shiur, for alumnusha purposes, because then I understand how we poskin, we're going to look at both. We're going to spend a lot of time on this, assuming it's pure bailus, and we don't give a hoot about utility. We just care about who owns it. And then we're going to segue and say, well, why should utility matter? And we're going to try to use this again without any help. Very, very limited help. Even in Achron, limited help. We're going to try to uncork some of those ideas. Okay? Yes, Noam.
Why is invasion also based on
Rishon? We'll see, because invasion in theory... It have to see who has the right to be there and who doesn't. Because invasion is not a, by definition, is not a monetary term.
The right to be there is different than the bailus?
We'll see. We'll see. Let's let things happen, okay? It's the closest to, but in theory, I could not have the right to be there and still not be called invasive, or have the right to be there and still be called invasive, because I'm shifting the definition from steacher to invasion. The second I shift it from a formal steacher, is it mine or is it yours, to invasion, then I'm not so sure that it tails or shadows legal ownership. Okay? It may or may not, but we'll have to see. Okay? Does everyone know where we are right now? So right now, we're ignoring the red. Right now, until the Gemara's word, Kashi Adadi, put a big line by Kashi Adadi, we had a Machlokas Amoroyim, Rav Chizur was Machayev Chatzar HaShotvim, Rav Yosef Patrus Chatzar HaShotvim, and we had a Machlokas Tanayim, which shadows it. Rav Yosef's Braisa was Machayev, like Rav Chizda, Rav Shimon Elazar's Braisa Patrus, like Rav Elazar. In the Yishalmi, that's all you have. There's a lot in this Yishalmi. Look at your Makaris sheet I gave you, the Yishalmi. Yishalmi doesn't have any of the development of our Bavli. You walked into the Beis Medrash, where's the Perak Beis Halacha Aleph or Perak Aleph Halacha Beis? I don't have the sheet. Which one is it, guys? Aleph Beis? Aleph Beis, and Yishalmi Aleph Beis. Well, it's a big, big Halacha Aleph Beis. Here. Is Tani Tani Chatsa Shoshifim Chayeves? Is Tani Tani Chatsa Shen Chesh? Actually, F.C. Yishalmi doesn't even have the Machlokas. Okay? Okay. Fine. But Yishalmi doesn't have any of this Peros versus Shvarim deliberation or discussion. Okay. So now let's start. Now let's roll up our sleeves. And this is going to be very, very helpful to learn how to see the entire chessboard. Okay? So now, I'm going to erase the red. Okay, because you all have it in your mind that at some point we may segue from bailus-based conversation to utility-based conversation. That norm will be a major shift, but right now we don't have enough board, so we're going to erase that and put it on the side. We're going to shrink all of this, so we have enough board because we're going to have to start to develop this. Okay, so now we have the first way to read the sugya, which is chatzer hashofen. Pater? Or a chayev. And we believe that this revolves primarily around steacher. Pater is Elazar. Chayev is, let me see if I got it right, chayev is Rav Chizda. And not if I got it right, but if in my mind I'm working the way I want to work. Okay, yes, this is the way I want to work. Okay, now, tell me, first question is always, which makes more sense? This is a hard one, because we're trying now to decipher part zero, the Gzeiras HaKasev. Normally, we haven't been deciphering Gzeiras HaKasev, so we've been living it as a mystery. Hashem just says, you're Pater. I called it a discount. You have to be Pater somewhere. And now we're drilling down, because the Mazik owns it, and the Nisik owns it. And don't start giving me Lamdas and Shufas. Not interested right now. I want Inshin Shein Varegel. Why would you say, first define the question and then analyze. Let's say the question. Should Steacher revolve around no? Mazik of the Nizik. Normally, Steacher is binary. Yes, Nizik, no Mazik. Here it's yes, Mazik, yes, Nizik. Right? X and Y, Y, X. I spoke with you. Normally, your classic case of steacher is yes, nizik, no mazik. Here it's yes and yes. So if the steacher chiev and the lack of steacher ptur, rishus sarabim, because there's no steacher, is nizik oriented, so here you should be chayev, of chizda. If the steacher logic is mazik oriented, you don't have the right to be rishus sayachid here. He does have the right, he does own it. It is not steacher, it's stay mazik, therefore it should be putter. Like Rabbi Elazar. In your mind, this is a hard question. Don't feel bad if you don't get it. Right? The trail is more important. In your mind, which makes more sense? Think pasuk, think just, is steacher not mazik? In this case, you'd be pater like Rabbi Elazar, or is steacher nizik? And in this case, you'd be chayev like Rabbi Chizda. What would you say, Yossi?
It's damaging.
I would say, exactly. Why? Exactly. Exactly. Ubir b'steacher. Who's the ubir? The mazik. The mazik went into a place which isn't his. Which is a nizik as opposed to shusarab, which is a mazik. Here it's not steacher, it should be pater. So namely, our first part, our first coordinate is Rebbe Elazar. Now, if we want to start, okay, I've had an oyster here. Well, not an oyster, but like, I don't know, like a pomelo. You guys know what a pomelo is? You know, it's hard to peel sometimes. Trying to peel it up a little bit. Trying to peel away the Gzeres HaKasid. You know, why is it a din in the mazik? It's hard. It's hard to, it's like a Gzeres HaKasid, like a pomelo. It's hard to, why would it be mazik? And someone, give me a definition of the Gzeres HaKasid. What does Gzeres HaKasid teach us without bleeding into 1, 2, or 3? Because we're not there yet. We may have to get there. We don't want to get there unless we have to. When we have to, we'll say it. Why is it mazik? Because when the mazik Yossi enters the stay acher, it makes it, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah, and what is Hashem telling us? It makes it, why you chayiv? It's not your house, because don't say the I word, because that's already bleeding. More of a, what's stay acher? What makes stay acher worse as opposed to non stay acher? Pshia, it's already bleeding a little bit into Orchei, but without saying Orchei, no Pshia Rosh Hashanah, yes Pshia, but okay, it's more of Pshia. I would be more comfortable if I kept away from Orchei entirely. It's more of a Maisa Nezek, because you attacked, and you're not chayiv for the attack, that's already invasion, but you attacked and grabbed, that's what Adi was saying the other day, it's one long grabbing of an item. So the mazik normally goes into our Rishos, boy, that's a real Maisa Nezek. The mazik goes into Rishos, and the Maisa Nezek only began with the eating, grabbing, stamping. So, this is what I would say, okay? Pater, because the mazik has Rishos, mazik owns it, monetary ownership, enters without crime. Stay acher means no mazik. Money, no mazik. Rights without distinguishing between the rights. Okay, I'm ready to move to the next side, right? Not so fast. Because there are more pieces on the chessboard here. And you got to see the whole chessboard, right? There's a nice big part here. If this were true, that any time the mazik owns it, he's pater, and any time the mazik doesn't own it, he's chayev, can anyone think of a case which makes this a little bit more complicated? Where's a case that you're pater, even though the mazik doesn't own and doesn't have rights? Which makes it sound like it's not mazik-centric, but nizik-centric. No, it's just their rights. No rights. Rights for everyone. What would happen in Rishus Acher? Shall we'll call him Levi? Not Reuven and Shimon. Levi's the third guy in every equation. What would happen if it's a Rishus Lo Lazeh? Below Lazeh, the mirror inverse of Shudvus. Based on this logic, what would you say? Would you be Chayev or Pater? Chayev. What does the Gemara say? Where does the Gemara say it? One of the Brises. And that's another fixed point of the Sugya. And you can't breathe unless you take that into account. And the art of the Sugya is not just saying things in a vacuum, but making sure you see all the pieces on the chessboard. What you say here, you have to take this into account. We'll take it into account on the other side also. Let's just see where the Gemara says it. This is pretty obvious. There's no wiggle room here. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara, okay, in the Seifa of the Brisa. Remember, there are four klalos. Okay, so we read the third one, and we're going to still develop it. Lazev lazek gan chazar shivim biko pata balashen velaregal and gicha velbiot. Lo lazev lo lazev. We are now 5 lines up. There should be a lot of pencil marks in this Gemara. If your Gemara doesn't have pencil marks, it's going to be one big blob, and you're not going to see anything. Lo lazev lo lazek gan chazar sheino shel shneim chayiv bo, which the Gemara is like shocked by. If no one owns it, you're chayiv. If Reuven comes into Levi's Sada, where Shimon's Peros are, Reuven's going to be chayiv, and that's the Gemara a little bit later. Ema Seifa. Now let's turn to the Gemara later on the bottom, where it starts to decipher this. So we are now 10 lines from the bottom. Ema Seifa, second word in the line, Lo Lazev, Lo Lazev, Kagon Chas, Hashem, Hashem, Chayiv, Balashin, Rega. My Lo Lazev, Lo Lazev. What does Lo Lazev, Lo Lazev mean in the fourth clause of the Brisa? Elema, Lo Lazev, Lo Lazev, Klal, Elodi, Acher, it's Levi's. Come on, it can't be that. No, being a mizbeach of Malacha, that's putter. It got to be something else, and that something else is going to be really interesting later on. But the Gemara says that Dover Pashit, that Rishos Levi, is putter. So it's not so simple to explain Rebbe Elazar Shita. Because you have to be putter when the mazik has rights, and you have to be putter when the mazik has no rights. Put that into your pipe and smoke it. It's not so pashit. There's actually a third case, but in that case, there's flexibility. What's the third case that we've shown him raise? Not chatzar ashutfim, both people have rights. Not chatzar shel achar shel levi, where the Gemara says clearly putter. There's no wiggle room there. Shasachar is putter. Period. There is no wiggle room here in the Bavli. Nishami, there are 2 days. So I want you to see, at least conceptually, you can build a world in which Pater Chayef, and that makes a lot of sense. In theory. Nishami actually says it within the Chizdas Shita, but let's make believe. But in the Bavli, in the playing field of the Bavli, you got some real explaining to do. What's the third case that you have to take into account? Chatzer HaShutfim. Okay, it's the Machlokas. But what happens in the Chatzer HaShutfim? Levi's animal damages. What would you like to say based on our svar? If Levi's animal damages in the Chatzer HaShutfim of Reuven and Shimon's parents, what would you like to say? Chayiv. Because the Mazik has no rights. And in fact, who says that? That Levi is Chayiv in the Chatzer HaShutfim? Who says it? Rashi on Daf Memches, the Rashi Memches, let's read Rashi. But that's not hard. And this is fine. These two, the logic stacks up. If you're a potter when the mazik owns it and therefore can go in, you'd be chayiv when Levi the mazik doesn't own and can't go in. So there's nothing wrong with that. This is a biggie. This is a big problem. How can you create a world where you're potter by chatzar shufim? Because you own it. You can go in. No problem. It's not steyacha. When it is steyacha, Levi sada, why am I chayiv? Why aren't I chayiv? Why am I potter? Excuse me. It was all mazik based, and that's why you're pottering me, because I own it, I can walk in, so I'm potter. When I don't own it, I can't walk in, why shouldn't I be chayiv? And the answer is, I'm potter. So let's just see where Rashi says this. We'll get back to this Rashi tomorrow. Guys, there are so many little nooks and crannies to this sugya. Slow things down. Don't leave any stone unturned. Don't just run through sugyas. This sugya, you have to read again and again and again. Because every little nook and cranny is going to show you some part of this logic, as you'll see in a moment. Let's look at Mem Chesem and Aleph. We'll see how Rashi gets to this tomorrow, but I'll just pick Rashi out of the excerpt the word out of context. Rashi says, line number 2, Mem Chesem and Aleph, we'll see there's a little piece on Mem Chesem and Aleph that's germane to our sugya. Top Rashi, second line, having said what I'm saying on Mem Ches, which we'll see tomorrow, Rashi says, Chatzer Hashutfin Depater Baal Hashem Veregel. When we said back on Dav, Yudalit, that Chatzer Hashutfin is Pater, namely us. Yes, it us, our Shita now, right now. Hani Mili Mishutef Lechavre. If Ruvain damages Shimon, then you're Pater. The Chatzer Shoshneim. Avoshor Me'alma, Levi Shor. The Al the Azig Lechad Minayu. Mir Bistecha Kuinim Bay. So that's fine. Bottom box is fine. Bottom box makes sense in the Elazar Shita. What I got a problem with is top box. How come you're pater by Chatzer HaShutfim and you're also pater? Can anyone finish my sentence? And I'm going to start eye winking. It seems like we have too many to handle. Finish the line. What's the blank? We have too many tours to handle. With only one, Yasi? With only one? Or with only one model, whatever that model is. Pow. That's the lumbus here. The first of many. If you're going to start stacking Torahs on me, but they don't stack logically, what does that sound like in Brisker language? Language? What does it sound like in Brisker language? Zwei. But not one or, but one and. Which is totally fine. There's nothing preventing me from having multiple tours. In theory, you could have 5 tours. Because they're not mutually exclusive. You know, because there's a kasev, and lack of Shia Zarya, and Shia Sanizig, and in theory, you can't have an invasion because there's a different system. So all of a sudden, Rebbe Elazar by introducing this Ptur and Chatzar HaShutfim and multiplying the amount of Pturs out there. We already have one Ptur on the books, Rishus Levi. Top box. That's on the books. That can't change. That's a fixed point. You can't move that in the Bavli. In the Ishami, you can move it. We can have a whole shiur on the Ishami. But in the Bavli, that's your fixed point. That's out of bounds. All the plays have to be in bounds. That's your out of bounds line. Rishus Achir Shel Levi. Lo Lazev Lo Lazev. But what do you mean, Rishus Levi? Of course, now we have to reinterpret the Brisa that says Lo Lazev Lo Lazev Chayiv, and we will. So how are you Pater? Because the Mazik could go in, but also Pater when the Mazik can't go in. Yes, Alex.
You mean that the Nizak has had Kol Rishus over?
Whoa. So you're talking about Nizak. So you're shifting the whole logic of Rabbi Lazar. We were saying it's Mazik oriented. Now you're shifting Nizak. What do you want to say?
Why can't we say that we can say that the Nizak has to have total Rishus over it, and no one else can have Rishus? Meaning that if it over.
Wait a second. Does Levi have total Rishus over it? Top box. Yes.
Yeah, but it's not Levi who's being damaged.
Okay, so the Nizak has to have total Rishus. Why?
Because.
Nisik. Okay, so you're shifting the whole, you're moving away from Yasi. I'm trying to make it work if it's Mazik oriented. Okay? If it's Mazik oriented, evidently you have to introduce a new Ptur. When it's a Chatzar HaShutfim, it's Pater because the Mazik owns it and there's no super attack because the Mazik didn't walk into place, he didn't the animal. And in addition, even when the Mazik comes in, I can apply another Ptur. Which other Ptur could you apply to Rishus Levi without switching, as Alex is saying? Can you pull a Ptur from our roster on the left and explain why Rishus Levi would also be Pater? What's happening in Rishus Levi to make Reuven's ox Pater, even though Reuven's ox came in illegally and attacked Shimon's Peres in Rishus Levi? What's wrong in that case of Rishus Levi that would make Reuven's ox Pater on Shimon's Peres in Rishus Levi, Yishai?
An attack on his Rishus.
Okay, invasion. Yes, but I don't want to get there unless I have to, but you're fine. Be more moderate. Can you say something more moderate? What can you not say? Which of the blues can you not say to exonerate Reuven on Shimon's Peros in Rishus Levi? Which can you not say of the blues?
Orche.
It doesn't make sense because it's not Orche. You have no right in that Rishus. So what are we left over? You don't want to go radical? Yes, and Nisik, which makes sense. Because what are you doing, Shimon, putting your Peros in Rishus, which isn't yours when they're unprotected? Well, you can't watch them. It's a more moderate form of Pshias and Nisik. It's not Rishus HaRam Pshias and Nisik. But maybe if you already put your Peros in a place you can't watch, then you've already given up rights to collecting them. Namely, if I start with Mazik-centric, which is the way we start. I start with Mazik-centric, and then I get to a place where the Mazik is still Pater, I may have to introduce multiple Ptors. Which is fine. That's what we're here for today. This isn't a break in the sugya. This isn't a fissure. It's just we have a problem that we had encountered until we started to parse it. Until we started to get down to be more, let's think about Mazik Nizik dynamics. We were just in La La Land. We were very naive. We're talking about Seder Rishus HaRabim, Min Chazer, and everything made sense, and maybe this, and maybe that. Now is where all these things are going to start. Imagine, this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say today. Imagine trying to solve the sugya that we're going to learn the next 2-3 days without this. You would be totally lost. Now we have a vocabulary to start to make logical sense of what we're going to see is 500. There are 500 scenarios in this thing. I'm going to only give you 250. Now, that's not many scenarios if you take all the logic. Because in theory, we could have 3 possibilities, right? Because this case, although Rashi says Chayiv, it could also be Pater because it's only Rashi. So you have 1A1, 1A2, but we're just going to look at this possibility. We have a lot of possibilities that we're not going to explore. This seems to be the way we'd have to explain Rabbi Elazar. That the Ptur is based on, as Yossi said, Ubir B'stei Acher, your animal came in and did a real Maisa Nezek, without pinning it on the evasion per se. Evasion per se means we don't really care about the Nezek, we care about the invasion. We'll see later why that's important. Here, the entry that's illegal makes the Nezek worse. Right? What do they call it in the legal system? Entry and battery? Illegal entry and battery? Bring in entering, right? Bring in entering as opposed to just stealing something. So the breaking and entering as part of the attack on my item makes the whole Nezek much worse, more of a Maisa Nezek. In this case, the Mazik didn't do that, he's Pater. And he did it to the Rishus Levi, but Maybe there's another Patur on Rishus Levi. He broke into Rishus Levi and he took Shimon's perils. Maybe you could say that what makes Rishus Levi different is because the breaking and entering is one victim and the damage to the Kli is another victim. Could that be the issue? That we need an integrated Lakicha and Achila, and in Rishus Hamazik V'Hanizik you have neither, and in Rishus Levi the breaking is criminal and the damage to the breaking and entering is criminal, and the damage to the Kli is criminal, but they're not the same person, since they're not the same person, I'm one connected. Maybe that's a different Svara, and therefore you wouldn't have to get through a double Patur. But if I focus in on the Mazik, and Alex, it's obvious that if we hold Patur, it makes more sense to focus in on the Mazik, then I have to say something to account for why Rishos Shlishi is Patur, and that's in the first Gemara. And again, to me, whatever you say, I'll put it up on the board for you in a moment, whatever you say is less important than your ability to put these two bits of information together and know that what you say here has to make sense with here. That's so hard in Lumbus because you atomize. You just move point to point. And how do you know what information to analyze together? That's the sixth sense of Lumbus, to be able to see where the information goes. So I stress it so much in the Shir because without your whole world is just confusion when you get to a multi-layered sugya like this. It's easy to have the sugya Miskalka. It's a really, really nice sugya. Raji has a nice sugya. Those are easy sugyas. These are real sugyas. We've got a lot of details flying around. You have to organize it. So one approach is to say, how to explain Rabbi Elazar, is that there are two p'tors. One p'tor is stay acher. And in stay acher, masha inkein, stay acher is chayev, masha inkein, rishus, mazik, even partial rishus, mazik. Number two is, you need kenisa plus nezek to the same person. And in rishus ha-shutfim, there's no problem with the kenisa. And in Rishus Acher, there's no problem with the Shvira because it's a Kenisa and the Shvira are not really targeting the same person. Questions? We really saw Azariah. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can we say that the entire approach is within Shias and Nizik? Shias and Nizik is a matter of who's more poshe, the Nizik or the Mazik? And in the case of Stay Acher, you have an extra level of defensive responsibility when something is in someone's.
So you think that the Patur of Elazar is the Nizik's poshe by putting into his Chatzar
HaShutfin? Yeah, more poshe than the Mazik.
No, could be. I don't think the Nizik could be called up Shad in his own rishus. You think it can be? That's the difference.
No, I'm talking about rishus lozat, lozat.
Okay, then why is the Mazik Pater and Chazar Shifin? You say there's only one Svar, Pshia, the Nizik, because the Nizik was also pushed out of putting into his rishus.
I mean, I guess it hinges on the fact that you have some sort of responsibility to defend your own thing.
Okay, so you're stretching Shias and Nizik. Okay, I can't argue with it, but my starting point is that it's a formal Patur, and that's what they're arguing about, stay acher or not. That's why. Yes, Isha.
This is kind of the opposite of this area, but I don't see how you could even apply Shias and Nizik to
Shias. I understand. Okay, so therefore, you don't think that one is possible. Guys, I can't answer these questions here. No one talks about them. It may not even exist in the end of the sugya if we define Kashi Adadi. But it still exists in the Yishalmi, and it certainly sounds there, but Lazar and Rabbi Yosef and everyone viewed it that way until the Gemara said, Ella, let's view it differently. Gabi, no, it's Yishai, what you said is correct, what Isaiah said is correct, but it's more the ability to bear down, identify enough questions, hold them up to your svaras. Remember, guys, this is the easy part. This is the bunny slope. We got the other side. What's the other side? We still got Rav Chisda to deal with. So put your stirrups on. You're going to go down the big slope, the Italian Alps. We got to deal with this guy here. So I'm not saying you shouldn't ask me questions. But again, we're not finished with this preliminary achlokas before the Gemara moves or even erases it and says what it says in the end. And then we have to get to the end. Why is it based in utility? And why should utility matter? So we got a lot of terrain ahead of us. Gavi. Chazar Shutfim, Yossi said, if we feel that it's formal, and Steyachar is formal, and Steyachar based on the Pasuk would be your Steyachar, your animal went to a Shus which isn't yours, here it's yours, therefore your Pater. And again, we peeled away a little, but if you don't want to peel, just look at the Pasuk.
And
then it's a problem. Then Rishis Shlishi is also Pater.
What do you say?
Rishis Shlishi is also Pater. So if I say that by Chatzar Shutfim your Patuk is a Mazik owns it and there's a Stay Acher, Rishus Levi is a Stay Acher, why shouldn't you be Chayiv? So I gave two answers, as I gave a third answer. One answer is to keep the formal, and to say there are two p'tors, the stack p'tors. One p'tor for chaser shutfim, according to Rebbe Lazar. One p'tor for rishus shlishis. No, again, my svara was the p'tor of chaser shutfim is because it's not steyacher, it's not the formal, you know, matter. Then the p'tor of chaser shlishis is p'shias anisik. What are you doing putting your parents in unattended? That's what I'm saying. You can't apply orche there, right? And we don't want to say invasion unless we have to, because that switches the whole system. That's why I don't want to say it, but I don't have to. My other approach said, no, maybe there's one chi of call battery entering and damaging, and in chatzah shuf, there's no entry. In rishus shlishis, entry for one, battery for another, and therefore I split them, and it doesn't have the same severity of my animal coming to rishus, violating your property, and taking the item. And creating this full attack on you. I mean, you know what? Just like what made the Simchas Torah massacre so traumatic was we thought we were past it. We're in Eretz Yisrael. Like we're not going to be raped and gang tortured. Like something about them coming in. That's Kishinev. That's Kent and back in Germany. That's there's a bloodline. Now, can't remember. Just see damage my clay, but it's not the invasion per se. It's the damage. But the damage is. Magnified and exacerbated by the pre-damage assault into my area. But it still focuses on the damage as opposed to Yishai shifting away from damage, saying it's an invasion that causes Ezelin and someone to pay. Okay? Yes, no. I'm happy with all these questions. Keep asking, guys, because this thing takes a while to percolate. Keep asking. Yes, sir.
In the case where Shazakar, he has permission to put his stuff?
Nothing. No one. It's Levi's Rishos, and Levi hates Reuven and Shimon. He's an anti-Reuven and Shimon. He's an anti-Semite. He's not Levi, he's... Leviticus, I know, we'll give you a nice Goyish name for Levi. Levi, he's not Levi, he's Levi. Well, Levi Strauss is actually Jewish, but, right. Yes, he hates him. No one can do anything in his rishus. Okay? He's Ibn Levi. Yes?
I still don't understand why we can't just keep the whole Torah of stay after. We don't have to move to any other Torah.
Okay.
Like, change into the Nizak has to have Torah rishus.
Why?
Why does the Nizak have to have Torah rishus? Because otherwise, then other people. Then you have the ability to say that someone else possibly had rishus to bring their thing in, right?
So what? It's my rishus, and that's my clear my rishus. Without saying anything more, why shouldn't you be chayav? It's my rishus.
So if it's your rishus,
which is what we're going to say in a second,
if it's only your rishus, then it makes sense that
why the word only? Why do we need the word only? What's the logic of only? You have to give me why does it fact that other people have rishus take away the chayav? If it's all about me and my item and my rishus, why do you know? It's my rishus. What do I care that other people can use it? It's my rishus. It's your tech item rishus. It's no pshus. It's no rechay. That's why it makes so sense. Is he said to move it over to Mazik. You're fighting uphill, and but you're not. It's fine. I'm just helping you. So you're not really explaining why the only is so important in Bava Kamma terms, not in moral terms. You know, it's not only rishus, and therefore, but in calculus terms, of Bava Kamma, I own it. It's in my rishus. What do I care if you own it also? Without bleeding into one of these other ideas, it's not about ownership. Yes, Yassi?
So, sort of piggybacking on Alex, so could we say that really it is on the rishus? Could it be only about Sadecha? Because it says, Ki Avor Ish Sadeh O Karen. So it sounds like, you know, that Sadeh that he's destroying when he enters. And in the case of
I understand you could change the pasuk, but you're still not giving me the logic to explain why chaser shifim should be pater. You're saying maybe you're saying yes, you're clapping al chayit. I was wrong in being so quick to think that the pasuk is like Rebbe Lazar. The pasuk could be Rav Chisda, and I'll tell you how to read the pasuk, but give me the logic behind the pasuk. Guys, I'm not discriminating against you. There are a lot of svarim that just says is a nizik amazi. You don't peel away. This is not a thing that there's enough peeling for. We're trying to peel down. Yishai.
I just want to clarify the lo-zeh case. We said in the Braita originally that you're chayav. And the Gemara
says that can't be Levi's rishus. Must be a different case, which we'll see later. We'll get to that later. Don't worry. We'll get to that Gemara big time. I don't know if today because we're running out of time, but big time. Yes, Henry.
I think the shifting is we thought their staff because it's not staff.
Okay.
That's
what we said.
I think that's
what the only important meaning. It's all a mazik. And we look at, no, it's not fair. Because do you look at steacha through the lenses of mazik or nizik? You're saying you look at it through mazik, and it's not steacha from the lenses of mazik. But Yassi and Alex are kicking back and saying we should look at it through the nizik. But they're adding the word only.
It could be like you said, that it's always binary, that it's always, it has to be
all nizik, no mazik.
Why?
It has to be both.
Why?
Since stay is. You can say stay after, it just means it belongs 100% to somebody else and 0%.
Okay, guys, so I see what's happening here. Let's decide to disagree. There are two ways to focus on the sugya. One way is to say there's a gezeiras hakatziv called steyachar, there's no peeling, and I'll raise three different possibilities about steyachar. Mazik, nizik, or I look at both. And anytime I try to just ask you why, I'll think that's what the pasuk meant. Okay, then I shouldn't get paid for today's share. You don't need me to tell you that. I'm trying to say, based on these new applications of steyachar, assuming we're operating with steyachar, let's try to understand steyachar a little bit more. So I understand what steyachar is mazik. I don't yet understand what it is nizik. We'll talk about it in a moment. I certainly don't understand why steyachar has to be binary. Mazik, no. Nizik, yes. Like, why? Without more information, why should that be true? Now, if you want to say, because that's exerts a gossip, then that's fine. So then, that's exerts a gossip. Then that part of the sugi is cauterized. You know, like when anyone ever have their nose cauterized because too many nosebleeds or something? Okay, so that is no longer flowing with ideas. You're just saying, there's a kasev, and there's a machlokas, and there's a kasev, and it's a machlokas, or by leaf tag machlokas, not a Rav Chaim machlokas. How to read the pasuk, not a machlokas. It could be true, but it doesn't help us in the advance of the sugya. The advance of the sugya, we're trying to break open and peel open, get down to deeper logic, and the deeper logic, and we start applying it elsewhere. Okay, so I'm not saying it's wrong, I just, maybe it is, maybe it is. It's both arbitrary and local. Yes, Alex.
In Onji Gimel Beis, right, the language that's used for the it's Rishus HaMiyuchet LaMazik, right? Which would mean that you have Rishus HaMiyuchet LaNizak, right? And so that's where the word only would be able to fit in. You could say, it has to be only the Nizak, and right. Therefore...
You've proven that the Mishnah Gemara may be alluding to it, but the question is, why? Why would I need that? What logic would require exclusivity? I feel very comfortable saying that if I'm a nizik and it's my rishus, and by the way, I'm an open guy, you can also have rishus there. You should still be chayiv, because it's my rishus if you articulate it as nizik oriented. Yes, Alicia.
You could rephrase what Alex is saying, not exclusivity per se, but if you redefine shutfus, not as I own it and you own it, but we each own half, and I don't really own her. And then in all of our shutfus cases, what Alex is saying makes a lot of sense.
Okay. If you feel shutfus. I'm not sure, but I don't want to get into shutfus today because that's more or less running away from the Bava Kamma ramifications. I happen to think, as we discussed yesterday, the shutfus is irrelevant to the sugya because I still own 50, and why do I need 100% ownership? This isn't Bikurim, this isn't Evet. I own it, you own it, we both own it together. Why shouldn't it be a Chazer Nisek? Let's move on to the second part because we still have a lot of business to take care of. Okay, so let's review. We started with assuming Yossi helped us that Rabbi Elazar makes more sense. We just got a little complicated because we can't just look at Rabbi Elazar himself. It has to be Rabbi Elazar held up to Rishush Shlishus. And we're trying to find a solution to that. Okay, you think that's hard? Let's start talking about Rav Chisda, who says that you're chayiv in a regular chatzer hashutfin. So far, that's the Gemara, regular chatzer hashutfin. Nizik and Mazik own it jointly. Yossi, Nizik and Mazik own it for peros, for shvarim, for whatever, for baseball, for football, for soccer, for hockey, for everything. Okay, so now, Alex, it makes more sense to say, well, if you're chayiv by chatzer hashutfin, then bir b'stei acher is not streamed through the lenses of the Yossi Mazik, it's streamed through the lenses of the Nizik. And if the Nizik owns it, you're chayav because it's Te'achar. The only problem I have with that so far is, why should that be true? I know the pasuk could be read both ways, but in my mind, again, if I'm peeling beneath the Gezeiras HaKasev, not the pasuk, but I want to know, what about whether it's in the Nizik Zushus or not the Nizik Zushus, Yishai, without moving to invasion, maybe this forces us to. What makes the nezik worse? Hillel, I understand that if my animal breaks into your house and breaks your kli, that's a more heinous attack on the kli than if the animal doesn't break in and break the kli. I understand why it should be mazik-centric. Basar mazik azlina, to use Gemara language. I just don't fully get why it should be basar nizik azlina. Now, what logic could there be? Anyone want to say something? By the way, I have Akasha, because again, what's the piece on the chessboard we still have to solve? If Basar Nizik, what piece makes sense if it's Basar Nizik Azlinan? Chazer Shlishi, because there's no Nizik that's being attacked. So now that top box is fine. Because if we center everything on the nizik, you'd be chayiv in rishus hashufim, you'd be pater in rishus shalevi. And you'd also be chayiv in Rashi's case, where it makes sense, if Levi's animal comes into Ruvain's and Shimon's rishus and damages Shimon's parents, that's also because chatzor nizik is enough. So there's a consistency in Rav Chisda with all the other pieces on the board. I just don't get the logic of Rav Chisda. Why should chatzor nizik be chayiv? What makes it worse? There's no. It doesn't change the loss. It's the same loss. It doesn't change. Why should the whole definition of stay acha be based on whether the nizik owns it or not? It makes it worse. The same for the mazik standpoint. The mazik standpoint, if I'm trying to define the maisa nezik, entering and breaking is a lot more of a maisa nezik than just breaking. From the nizik standpoint, like what? Normally when we shift to nizik, Adam, we shift away from a maisa nezik and we just start talking about hefset. This is really all the nizik cares about. And hefset doesn't really change. That's why I was hesitant to say nizik. I'd rather not say nizik. What do you think, Yishai? Now get ready to raise your hand, Yishai. And you know what? I'll be even more radical than you. But you see where we're heading with this. Well, I'll tell you what. Let Yishai say what he wants to say, and then let's argue with him. Okay, here's my finger. Evidently, if you go from the Nizik, that's the Divine Steacha, then it's all about invasion. So, first of all, would that be true by Rishus HaShutfim? Is it really invasion? No. This is a really, really black hole, this again. That's why, by the way, before I give you ideas, that I'll give you a really radical idea that'll make invasion sound tame. Okay, so I'll let him say it. That's why when the Gemara shifts out of this Chatzor HaShutfim Machlokas, the Gemara assumes the Chatzah Shurfim is definitely a regular Chatzah Shurfim. The Shvarim Vilapayros is definitely Pater. And the only way to be Mechayiv is to start playing around with the variables of utility. So the Gemara already knows that in this Chatzah Shurfim analysis, Rabbi Elazar makes a lot more sense than Rav Chisda. And then when the Gemara shifts and starts saying it's really not a Chatzah Shurfim, the assumption is Chatzah Shurfim is going to be Pater because it's all Mazik based. And then to make you chayav, we have to start talking about a very specific case where you have this, I have that, which we'll get to in the second part of the whole sugya. This is really, really hard. Why do I care? What do you think, guys? Hands up. Henry, Alicia, then we'll, yes, what do you think? What makes damage in chatzar and nizik as opposed to non-chatzar and nizik? Why is it so bad? Same loss. He's not looking for the mazik. The mazik is not that there's more pshia, because he's allowed to go in. That's why we said patr when Shabbat. If we look at it through pshia, it's not more of a nezik, because the lion is allowed to go in. So he said patr. How do we move it all to the nezik? Say, well, the nezik owns it, therefore. You think you're going to sell this one with a shift as Alicia? No way. Okay. Zarya, we need your help. We need your horsepower. Give me a svara that makes what makes this so. What do you think, Alex?
Say that the nizik can't be
Hoshe
in his own
rishos. Okay, so basically, what you're saying is, which is fine, I can't say black. I have to move to blue. There is no, Henry's going to argue, but Alex is, and we'll say which one. Alex, I can say blue one. You know why Yechayiv and Chatzor shouldn't measure and nizik because it's not Orche totally, because how do you define Orche? I could certainly say blue too. There's no Pshia, which is what we said before, against, I don't know who I'm arguing against, Azariah maybe. But basically what Alex is saying is that to justify Rav Chisda Shita, I can't stay in my ostrich hole of form. Henry disagrees. Henry, go ahead.
Why do they have to make the inclusive thing? Why can't you just positive and passive? Like, what you're saying, it seems like you're saying this passive has to be outside of all svara entirely. They have, like, it has to just be svara, like, unto itself, but nothing to do with that. Why? I mean, why can't you just say, okay, the Geras Kassav, because, and the Geras Kassav is because of Kisanir, whatever it is.
Okay, right now I'm trying to assume that, because I'm trying to isolate different factors that understand them better. There's no Geras Kassav. There's a svara behind the Geras Kassav, which can be applied to this case. But if the Geras Kassav is based on formal ownership, and I want to know why formal ownership makes a difference, I would tend to look at the ownership for the mazik, because if I don't own it, it makes the nezik worse. Alicia?
Why
Now, there's an idea that like Geneva and Gazela, like Geneva's worse because I came out, like I violated your sense of privacy and protection. We kind of said this last year. That
can I say you're bleeding?
Right. Kind of like you said, yeah, right. I violated your protection.
And in this case, and what's the problem that I'm going to hit you with? And I'm considered violent, even though I can walk in because I own it also.
Right.
Not so sure I agree with that. I own it just as much as you. Why is my animal...
It's not about necessarily about the formal ownership.
Right. It's about the... But then you're basically bleeding into invasion. You're moving away from the plaque, and you move basically to what makes invasion. So you're agreeing with Alex. You're just disagreeing about which blue, which is fine. I'm not here to tell you you have to say this. I'm here to show you is the migration, which is fine. If you told me the sugi ended here, which it may end according to Balasa, so Machlagas Chatzar Shufim, guys, write this down. This is our big Lamdasha moment. Okay. Rav Elazar holds black and Rav Chisda holds blue. It's a black and blue sugi. If the sugi ends here, okay. Rav Chisda, Rav Elazar holds Pater holds black basically. Okay, you may need an assistant of blue, you may not need, depending on one and two. It's a formal issue. From a formal issue, I'll look at it through the masik. By chatzar shufim, it's bipater, like Rav Elazar says. And Rav Chisda was only able to generate a chiyuv because he defined the chiyuv as not formal based, because then why the heck would you be chayv? He defined it based on some svara, and the svara to pater doesn't apply here. Or chay, or pshias, or nisik, or something. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to take the machlokas that we've seen until now and plug it into coordinates. Maybe it's a good idea. Avi Kohn. You're at the next Shluchim conference. And someone stops in the scene and say, this famous machlokas, I'm not interested in... I heard about... I'm a babich, I limp Rabbi Tari, I'm a superstructure. So we've seen black and blue. Formal or some logic practical? He said, some machlokas. The lazen of chizda v'chatzor shifim. Without getting into the utility-based that conversation. If you hold that it's formal, you end up, as Yossi Sherman, my good buddy from TABC, told me, you end up with Rabbi Lazar Shita. And the only way to get to Rav Chisda is to play around with those details and make it practical. They're fine with that. Or, as some Achronim start to think about, maybe there's another way to explain Rav Chisda. He may not make the cut if the cut is Rav Elazar changing everything and erasing and redefining Rav Chisda. Let's look at an interesting Gemara that will make your head spin even more than it's spinning, hopefully, but maybe we'll change your ideas a little bit. Okay. Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Remember, we've been talking about Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaShutfim. What we haven't been talking about, for a good reason, is Rishus HaMazik. What if your peros end up in my Rishus, and my animal eats your peros? Real classic Rishus HaMazik. So, this is an easy one. This is a batting practice. Who wants a batting practice? Why is a mazik pater in rishus a mazik? Okay. You're too smart for me. I need a dumb person to get up for batting practice. Say, who's dumb? Why are you pater in rishus a mazik? Because rishus a mazik is definitely not steach. You're too smart for your own good. Don't give me these fancy smarts. Like, if there's one place on earth that isn't steacher by any stretch, we're trying to parse what is steacher, nizik, mazik, tzidei rechava, gav chavrta. But give me a place, guys, that in... We'll challenge that also tomorrow. But that, maybe the next day. What isn't steacher? Rishus hamazik. I'm a simple guy from Brooklyn. I know the pasuk in Mishpatim. Obir besteacher, nisht rishus hamazik. I don't know. That's not what the Gemara says, Natan. Gemara sounds like it's as smart as you are. The Gemara says on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Chutz Mirshus Hamuchedes LeMazik. The Amar Lei, because the Mazik tells the Nizik Tarcha Brishusi, my boy. What is your Torah? What is your axe doing in my Rishus? Tarcha, right? It's like that's what most people say. Get your Torah out of here. Tarcha Brishusi, my boy. Don't give me Shir. I don't want to learn Torah. Chas v'shalom. Tarcha, I'm not going to say who says that. You guys be filming. Tarcha v'shusi, my boy. Get your animal out of my rishus. Tarcha v'shusi. So what's the question, guys? Come on, you're smiling. What's the question? But that's the attack. So therefore, it's your fault, whatever. Whatever tarcha v'shusi, my boy, means. Let's call it hyperpshi of the nizik. Okay, what are you doing with your animal, right? We're talking about, again, where your animal who walked into my rishus and ate my peros. What is your animal doing in my rishus? Therefore, now the opposite way, where rishus amazik is the peros. No, so what's rishus amazik? The opposite. Make sure I'm clear to you. Rishus amazik is where what? Your nizik brought the peros into the rishus amazik. The amazik's animal ate the nizik's peros in his own rishus.
Why would it say, why is your ox
and my field? Am I getting it wrong here? Okay, so one ox scores another ox, not pairs. Okay, one ox scores another ox. We include even Karen. Okay? So the victim ox, what is the victim ox doing in my rishus? Maybe the same with pairs. You brought the pairs in, you brought your ox in. Why, Nizek, are you bringing the victim item into my rishus? Tarcha b'shusim, peraschah b'shusim, my boy. But my question is, come on, what's the question on the sukkah? Who needs...
It sounds very blue.
Well, right, but let's think more global. Who needs, what's the first question? That's going to be the third question. Who needs the svara we should pater because it's not se'achar, it's my sada. My animal damaged, I'm just talking about the case of Paris to make it easier. My animal damaged your Paris in my rishos. It's not se'achar, and it should be pater without getting to Natan's brilliance. Could it be that stay acher doesn't really apply to Rishus HaMazik? Follow the train. We think stay acher is Rishus HaNizik, which would exclude both. If stay acher is Rishus HaNizik, what would it exclude? Both? Rishus HaRavim and Rishus HaMazik. But now that we see that stay acher doesn't exclude Rishus HaMazik, maybe stay acher is, and we need some other reason to exclude rishus hamazik. Maybe stay acher doesn't really specify rishus hanizik. Maybe it just excludes rishus haram. Okay, guys, who knows how to stand on their head? We're standing on our heads now. Maybe the only time you're pater because of stay acher is say Yosef rishus haram. You know where we're heading. Once I say the only time you're pater because of stay acher is the shus harabim, where would you be chayev? Shus hanizik. Because you don't need shus hanizik, you just can't have shus harabim. Sorry. He's having a hard time. Don't hyperventilate. What does this mean? Who can articulate? You're a pater and a shus harabim. What does that mean? If steyachar pater is a shus harabim, and that's why he doesn't pater a shus hamazik, and you need some other svara to pater a shus hamazik. What is that basically saying? Say it in civic terms. What's happening here? Go global. A shus harabim is a no payment zone. Because that's where people walk, and that's not a place where people are paying each other. Rishus HaRabim, if we do as much as possible, is a no-payment zone. You don't pay for Rishus HaRabim. Which, by the way, then would change Karen, and would change Bor. Okay, Karen's not really chayav. It's a pagim, it's a knas, and Bor is a yitzirah samazik of public property that you damaged. You can pay anywhere else. Those are private areas. Private areas, you have to be careful. You know, who's chayiv, who's not. And therefore, Rishus HaMazik, maybe you'd be chayiv, if not for famous Rabbi Natan's Svara of Tarchan. It's your fault. Okay, so I have another reason to make you pater. But fundamentally, Ari, Rishus HaMazik is a place of chayiv, because you can't tell me you're pater in Rishus HaMazik because it's not Steach. I don't care about Steach. I just care that it's not Rishus HaRabim. Steach is Hashem's way of coding, just don't be in Rishus HaRabim. As long as you're not Rishus HaRabim, we can start talking about payment. We'd even start talking about Rishus HaMazik payment, would it not be for Hotokhubs of my, why are you doing my Rishus? In which case, anything that's not Rishus HaRabim would be chayiv. Can anyone think of a case that's not Rishus HaRabim? Would you be chayiv? That's a shutfim according to Chizda. What's the problem with this svara that a lot of Achronim want to try and say? Stay shlisha, sort of that way. Wait a second. Not only is it backwards, but it's inconsistent. Because you know what else isn't the Rishus HaRabim but your putter? Stay shlishi. So there's a lot of, it's an interesting appeal to say, you know, Rav Chisda is chayev, not because the Nizik has a Rishus and I care about the Nizik, I don't really know how to solve that, but you know, because it doesn't have any Pturs. It doesn't have Rishus and Masik Ptur, it doesn't have Rishus and Rabbin Ptur. It's a place, you don't need to be Rishus and Nizik, you just need to be a place where there's no Ptur. By creating Chas HaShufim, there's no Ptur. The problem is Rishus Shlishus. So in the Shalmi, you could possibly say this, because in the Shalmi, there are two deos about Rishus Shlishus. But again, in the Bavli, it's like Canadian football. Yisham is Canadian football, right? More bigger sidelines, getting right. Come on, what are you worth? You can't tell about Canadian football. I even know the Argonauts, right? Okay, the Argonauts. Okay, I didn't tell you side to side, right? As opposed to 100 yards. Okay, so 100 yards from side to side. No, it can't be. Right, so it's longer, but the wide makes a difference. It's more spacing, right? That's really the game changer. Okay, so, you know, different spacing, but in the Bavli, you're stuck. You're stuck. So you think we're stuck on that side? We're not really stuck on that side. We just have too many options on Rebbe Lesser. I'd be able to say, if you're really stuck, and let's see, Xeris HaKasev, why should you be Chayiv when the Mazik has the rights to go in and owns it, and like, you didn't do anything horrible and terrible just because it's the Nizik house? So if you want to get through invasion and what Alicia said, okay, then you're already in the blue. That's fine. You have to move to the blue. If you want to stick in the black, I can come up with something. It's not, I've seen it, other people say it. I come up with something fancy, but I still have a shlishus to deal with. I could say that you're chayiv in chas hashofim because it's not a rishus harabim. Anywhere else you're chayiv as long as it's not a rishus hamazik. But then how do I deal with shlishus? Unless I introduce many pturs again, so I'm still bleeding into blue. Say, well, the reason you're pater, the reason you're chayiv in Rosh Hashanah is because it's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but in Rosh Hashanah Shlishis, you have some other p'tur that doesn't apply to Chas Hashanah, one of the blows, Pshias HaNizik. If one says Pshias HaNizik, I may as well just say Pshias HaNizik for everything, and say there's not Pshias HaNizik in Chas Hashanah, and that's why I'm chayiv. That's the hard part of the second. The rest is the relatively easy part, but what are we up to time-wise? What are we here? 10:21. I'll just introduce the next part of the sugya. I don't know if we're going to deal with this by tomorrow, because there's like another part. There's two more parts of the sugya. Yes, Isha.
Maybe the Rishit Nefer also fits into this category of the Ptur with the Rishit Nerabim, meaning like those are both shared spaces, and so even in this way of setting
it's up. Hard. It's hard. I understand what it means to say there's no payment Rishit Nerabim. That makes sense to me from a municipal policy standpoint. Rishit has to create an area that you don't have to pay, or else no one's going to walk there. The same thing is that in Benava, but it's not localized to Shein V'regel, it's more a reshus that patters you. And if it's a steach of a Shein V'regel to highlight, you're in a payment zone. And that's why I'm just imagining in theory it's a payment zone. But why should Levi's reshus also not be a payment zone?
Does it make sense? That it applies to any reshus like that, where there's a shared space where we want to encourage people?
Then it should apply here also. That Levi is in a shared space. Levi is his own rishus. We just happen to go in together to Levi's rishus. Shimon violated Levi's rishus. And Reuven violated Levi's rishus. But Levi's is, you know, a protected mansion with militia from South America. Like, Levi's is in a shared rishus. Yes, Yelisha.
Maybe rishus rabbin isn't an objective term. And once there is a mazik and a nizik established in Levi's field, and neither of them is Levi, then it's ki'ilu rishus rabbin because it's not related right. to either.
I'm having a hard time swallowing that ki'ilu.
We've talked about these temporary, these portable rishus.
But Levi didn't give rishus. And rishus Rabban, there's implicit rishus. Levi hates Reuven and Shimon. He happened to be away for a day, and Reuven and Shimon trespassed.
That has nothing to do with the mazik that happened. So as per the mazik, as per the hezek, it sounds like...
It's more or less what Yishai is saying, but I don't get the logic. I'll tell you what I agree with the logic. You know, it's a plausible logic. I think this is like counterintuitive. You're barking up the wrong tree. You have to know that also Lambda's like when you're saying something, it's just it's backwards rather than. Okay? Now let's just introduce the next part of the second, okay? Kashi Adadi. Okay, now let's again we're assuming that Kashi Adadi is someone else walking into the base Medrash and saying, I am not happy with the way you just analyze the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Lazar, Chizav Lazar, and the two Brisels, and therefore anyone want to take a picture before I erase it? No, I don't even have to erase it. I'll just, you know, I'll make a little box here because we're not going to talk about this. This is a box we can expand to us. This is a whole new view of the sugya. Kashi Adadi, the Gemara is going to say, and therefore the Gemara says, Ki Tanya Ahi, that Braisa Reb Shimon ben Elazar / Reb Elazar, we'll stick with Shimon ben Elazar, is Chatzer Hashutfin Mamish, which everyone says is the big pay, the big, big pay. Don't tell me anything else. You're putter, which was our basic story before. How am I going to explain the price of Yosef, says Yechayev. Kitan Yahi, the Torah's Bechatz Mechadis, Hahid Rabbi Yosef, the Chayev Rabbi Yosef. Before we get back to the Amorim, the original Amorim, because they're in the end. Hahid Rabbi Yosef, Bechatzer Miuchadis Leperos, Eidim Yuchadis Leshar. Don't tell me that you could be Mechayev Bechatzer Shefim. Bechatzer Shefim is Pater, because it's Mazik oriented. In order to generate a Chayev Bechatzer Shefim, I have to start looking at utility. And they both own it, but they can only bring pairs in. They can't bring animals in. And that's where, at least, Rabbi Yosef's Braisa was Mechayev. And quite frankly, Rashba probably didn't argue, because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's Braisa was talking about Chatzel Shifn Lazel, 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 Shem, Lepairs. So now the Gemara says, just mapping it out, I'm just going to map this Gemara for you. Rabbi Yosef's Braisa of Chiev is, again, Mazik, Nizik, Shvarim, Peros. I don't know what I did before. You know, Shvarim is no, this is Nizik, this is Mazik, no, no, yes, yes. And this Rabbi Yosef says is Chiev. Okay? But we're not finished yet. Because the Gemara then says, Dekanami, it makes sense. The Gemara says to adjust based on utility. Because the contradictory brises use different analogies. One used punduk, one used bika. If you take those words literally, a bika is sharm, yes, 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 yes. And that's the brises that says pater. Whereas the punduk is a place you keep your pears, not your sharm. And that's the brises that says chayev. So this adjustment, the Gemara derives from the offset between punduk and bika. Okay, there's no lumbus there. Then he says, wait a second. Moskva or Abzera. Abzera walking through the room. Our good friend Abzera from Miskalkel makes a reappearance on Daf Yudalit before his appearance on Daf Chaf. Abzera says, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not so sure I think this should be Chayef. Abzera says, I think this should be Pater. Because the fact that they each put their papers there, it's not Steacher. But Moskva or Abzera. Kimati Mechedes Leperos Habeina Bir Steacher Veleka. And Abai says, no, 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 no. The fact they can't put their shvarim there means that it is Steacher. This gets really juicy. We actually have a machlokas between Reb Zera and Abaye, seems to hold like the pashas are safe. And I don't know how Reb Zera would explain the brises, right? Because Reb Zera can't give the answer. So maybe Reb Zera would explain the brises like today's shir. That the brises are really a chatzar ashutfim top line machlokas. I don't know. I wish Reb Zera in the room to ask him. Because there doesn't have the option to say everyone holds pater and the price of the holds chayiv is miuchedes leperos or miuchedes leshvarim. So you may have to explain it. It's a fundamental machlokas with the chatzah shem is chayiv pater. Maybe. But at least Abaye defends miuchedes leshvarim miuchedes leperos leshvarim being chayiv because this is chayiv steacher. And in fact, the Gemara says, without getting into any of this lumdus, where it says, in fact, the Gemara says, Amale Rav Acha midifti the Ravina. Now Rav Acha came into the room. Obviously, it's not the same room, they're different generations. But into the Talmudic room, Rav Acha told Ravina at the tail end of this whole conversation. Rav Acha, at the end of the Gemara, told Ravina, Lema midimasnisan ho pligi. If this whole voice in the Gemara said that there's no machlokas between the Braisos, because Rashba's Braisa that says Pater is a classic Chatzar HaShutfim, and Rabbi Yosef's Braisa that says Chayiv is Miuchedes Leperos Veleshvarim. So just like we solve the Braisos that they're not really arguing, one is talking about Chatzar HaShutfim regular, one is talking about Peres, yes for both, Shvarim, no for both, Amarei Nami Lo Pligi. So maybe let's go back to Rabbi Elazar and Rav Chisda and say they also didn't argue. Rabbi Elazar didn't really say, no one was really talking about a Chatzar HaShutfim. Everyone agreed Chatzar HaShutfim is Pater. Rabbi Elazar was talking about a Chatzar HaShutfim. And Rav Chisda was talking about Miuchedes Leperos Veleshvarim. Yeah, it makes sense. So now not only does this voice obliterate a Machlokas Tanayim, he also obliterates the Machlokas Amoran, the Zom Machlokas. Or, maximum, if you really like arguments, then the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef was not about Chatzar HaShutfim, which everyone would say Pater, but was Abaye and Rav Zera. Not arguing about this case. The Braisos were not arguing. One Braiso was talking about Punduk, Bika, which is Chatzar HaShutfim Amish, Peros and Shvarim, Yupater. One Braiso was no Shvarim, yes Peros, Punduk, and Yuchayev, so there's no real machlokas in Braisos because they said Punduk and Bika. Whereas if Elazar and Chizda talked about general, either they're mamish like the Brises. One was talking about Chatzah Shutfen, Pater, Belazar. One was talking about Paris and Shur. Paris, yes, Shur. Enough for both, which is Chayef, which is Rav Chizda. Or they really argue about, they're both talking about Paris, yes, Shur. No. And Rav Chizda said Chayef, like Amaye. And then Belazar said Pater, like Rezer wanted to say. So in ultimate, it's not just Rezer asking a question that Rabbiya responded to, but it's actually a real machlokes hamarayim between Belazar and Rav Chizda, or is it Paris and Shur. Okay, that's our map. What we have to do now. We have to say, what's this machlokas? Why would the joint ability to put peros in there make it chayev, like Abaye and maybe Rav Chizda said? Why would the joint ability to put peros in there make it pater, like Rav Zera wanted to say, and possibly Rav Elazar said? What's your first question, just to help you? Which makes more sense? What would you say? Chayev or Pater? Okay. If you don't know, go with the answer of the Gemara. Who asked that it should be Pater? Who said it should be Chayev? Reb Zer said it should be Pater. Abaye said it should be Chayev. Okay, so give me a svara for Abaye, and then you have to deal with Reb Zer. It is Chayev because. Say better, who's the you? Sure. Sure is not allowed to be here. Sure is came in. Sure is the mazik. It's mazik oriented. We all know that how that works. Either through the xeris akasiv, the shar entering them, or the last case, Alex, we're flipping our logic. Before in today's conversation, we're talking about a real chatzah shifim where shars can enter. If they can enter, then it should be patur, like we were assuming. Like Yossi told us. But now we're talking about where it's a no shar zone, your shar invaded, or whatever, should be chayiv. Which is what Abaye says. Given to the shar, made a milchanas. So we have to think of a svar for a gzera slash a belazar, that since two people can keep their peros there, Yishai, since two people can keep their peros there, your pater. That's our challenge. But keep in mind, there's another piece on the board. What's the other piece on the board? I'm not going to tell you, just figure it out in the Gemara. The Gemara says later on, when it tries to explain Lola Zeva, Lola Zeva, at least according to Rashi, okay? I'll just give you the puzzle we have to solve. We're running out of room, but here, okay? Shor, Peros, Mazik, Nizik. Shor, no, no, yes, yes. Reb Zera says Pater. We have to make sense of that, possibly a Belazar. Abaye says, Chayev, makes a lot of sense, at least for now. We'll ping-pong back and forth. However, the second piece on the board is the Gemara will say, hunt down this Gemara. I'll try to streamline the Makaros for you. Hunt down this Gemara. What would happen if it's Shor, Peros, Mazik, Nizik? Yes, 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 no. Miuchedes l'shvarim v'le Peros l'nizik. That, Yishai, is what the Gemara, according to Rashi, interprets lo lezev lo lezechayev. Lo lezev lo lezev leperos, lo lezev lo lezev lesharm. According to Rashi, you're chayev. According to Tosos, no way. Sharos can come in. So this is Rashi, just giving you a heads up. This is Tosos. Tosos argues. He says, shor, peros, same case, whatever. Enough to get. This case, according to Rashi, is Chayef. So according to Rashi, the puzzle is hard. We have to find why Reb Zera would say Pater here and Chayef here. According to Tosfos, this case, and you'll see now Rashi tells us this case is Pater. So Reb Zera says Pater here and Pater here. Whatever Svar will say here, will say here. But according to Rashi, you're Pater here and Chayef here. How would you explain Abaye? How would you explain Reb Zera based on Rashi's chiddush? Tosfos reads the Gemara in a way that doesn't provide any new information. So you read Tosfos, but doesn't challenge the Lamdasha process. This challenges. This sugya, if you want to take a broad view, okay, aside from being able to take this formal versus practical and start to apply it, the problem is the mapping of the sugya. There's just a lot of factors, and you have to follow all the moving pieces. And the second part is to know what factors to view adjacent to one another. So I can't just analyze this in machlokas because I have the out of bounds is the tzedar shlishis. I can't just look at the case of Reb Zeir and Reb Elazar. I have to feed it through the other case. That's a really, really subtle art of lumbus. It was hard for me to get it. Remember, like, go back to when I was your age. My mind didn't work that way. Like, see many factors at once, not one factor. Which field, I'm interested to know, your mind, which field in high school comes closest to that? Where you just, you're not looking at one issue. You're looking at, I guess, math maybe, multivariable equation. Is that, studying math, is that math? Definitely not physics, right? Because in physics, you're looking at a particular momentum, you're looking at a particular equation that applies to a set of circumstances. I mean, it's really computers, but I mean, computers isn't a science, it's just, you know, but I mean, it's really computers. You have to think about many, many ways it feeds one another. But that's really the art of lumbus, to take the entire sugya and think about all the factors at once, or at least the ones that are relevant, and to know how to create your bounds, like what factors are not relevant without letting your mind run to, you know, other ways to solve it, rather than looking at breaking the issues themselves. Okay, we'll stop here. In terms of the makaras, okay, start with what I just told you, which you probably saw yesterday, but hopefully you're seeing now a little deeper. Read the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. The Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on Yud Daled, okay, is the key Rashi is Ella and Delagabe, the Rashi on the fourth to last line. Tosfos, Lola Zeva Lola Ze. I'll highlight for you two Rishonim on the WhatsApps about how to read Kashi Adadi, just so you can see whether the Gemara wipes away everything we said today, at least in the Bavli, or maintains it and then just says a different voice that shifts from ownership to utility. Then see the other Makaras I gave you. What I gave you? I gave you a Shita Mekubetzes, I gave you a Ravid, see Harachava, local stuff. And then the final frontier is going to be on Daf Memches. Not ownership or utility, but permission. What happens if Levi grants permission for Shimon the Nizek to use his Rishus and Reuven comes in? So it's a Rishus Shlishis, but one where Yishai, they didn't invade Rishus Shlishis illegally, but Levi, the owner of Rishus Shlishis, invited Shimon to put the peros. Those of you who follow Daf Yomi, you may recognize this from a couple of weeks ago in Daf Memches. What happens, the Mishnah says, on Daf Mem Zayin, with this granting of Rishus, how does that change the equation? And at some point, it rolls onto a Shein, radical conversation. I'm not going to go through the whole sugya, but there's just one little piece on Daf Mem Chesem and Aleph, which talks about Shein to Regel. And I wanted to give you a nice ksos in Machne Ephraim, which is all based on one approach to the sugya, just to see how this affects other sugyas. We'll see. So I'll give you the makaras, but really, don't run to the ksos. We're probably not going to get to that much tomorrow. We will get to it probably on Thursday, okay? And then we have one more crazy, crazy sugya waiting for us on Daf Chaf Gimel, Pi Parak, Chatzar Nizek Dami, Chatzar Mazek Dami, and then we'll finish and do a Chazar. Okay, so now we're trying to take all these ideas which we gathered in the field and bring them into the laboratory and sharpen them. Okay? Whoa. You're free. Go. Get up. Breathe.